animated.
What was that called?
Called The Adventures of Mark Twain in 1985. And a lot of the, a good number of the animators that are at Leica today started at Venton. So there's that sort of history. And then there are all kinds of other, I was mentioning the program we're doing about women animators. Joan Gratz won an Oscar for her short film, Mona Lisa Descending the Staircase. And there's Rose Bond, who now teaches at Pacific Northwest College of Art, and Joanna Priestley, and Marilyn Zornato. Anyway, there are a whole range of people that have been making films here in Portland over the last decades. And then very famous music video animators, Jim Blashfield Studios. So there's a real richness of animation here. Mm-hmm. And Portland, and sort of especially now with Leica, become a mecca for animators. I mean, there's a tremendous number of talented British animators that have moved to Portland to work at Leica. But animators from all over the country, as well as Portland. So, you know, this show is celebrating Leica, but it's also celebrating Portland's creative community and the film culture here in Portland.
Mm-hmm. What do you think drives people to animation when they a young artist? Because now you can buy the tools to make a video.
Yeah,
well, like, I mean, shoot a movie with your friends.
Sure.
Very cheaply. What about animation?
Well, I think animation in general appeals to people it's all created out of your imagination.
Mm-hmm. It's a fantasy medium.
It's sort of a fantasy medium, and it has so many possibilities in it, from, you know, just two-dimensional drawing to stop motion to all, you know, it's to cameraless animation. There's lots of different opportunities. I think there's the question of what draws people to Portland. Mm-hmm. And why is Portland the place? And it's probably the rain.
I mean, it's a medium where if you start out on your own, like, you're the auteur, you come up with a story, you move
it's
everything around. Yeah, but as soon as you get big, if you're doing it commercially, you're going to need assistants and all these other people. So do you think, does it exist as a kind of mid-level studio idea that people can do? Like, Jim Blashfield obviously does a good job. Is it difficult to scale, you think, as a production?
I mean, a business like Leica is not one in a million, but it's a rarity. I mean, there are obviously big animation studios, Pixar and Walt Disney, and but to do it in Portland, mm-hmm. It's pretty special.
Isn't it all just funded by Phil Knight's money through his son?
Well, that's the original investment, you know, is Phil Knight, and his son Travis is the director and runs Leica, and it wouldn't happen without that.
Mm-hmm. But do the movies make money?
I don't know that at this point that it's... describing what profit is in filmmaking, because it takes so long. I mean, there's the theatrical side of it, and then there's cable and DVDs and merchandising, and all these films sort of have a long tail.
Mm-hmm.
I think they will. I mean, I think in the end they all will. Mm-hmm. I don't know the economics of it at this stage of the game, but it wouldn't happen without big investment. And in this case, it's Phil Knight. And in the case of Hollywood, someone there, it might be some Wall Street investor.
Some hedge fund, yeah.
Some hedge fund. But it's pretty amazing that Leica exists in Portland, regardless of how, But it's built on, it's built on this longer tradition.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating to see, to have seen Portland emerge over the decades as this place, because they're very outside of Los Angeles, there are not that many places that are hotbeds of animation like Portland is.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
In your job, you spent a lifetime in movies and presenting them to people, saying, look, these are good, these are interesting, come and look at these. How do you access animation? Like, how do you hear about a new good piece of animation? Is it you just on your YouTube at home, or do you have like assistants who?
It's a combination of all, everything. I mean, you go to film festivals and see things. People send you things, and nowadays, because of technology, people can send you a link, a digital link, a file, and you they don't have to ship you a 35 millimeter film can, or there doesn't have to be a special screening in a theater. But that happens as well, because of all the animators in Portland. Their friends of friends, work just sort of comes in over the transom.
But the slush pile is infinite.
It's pretty infinite.
So how do you cope with it?
It's a challenge. I mean, but it's not any different than like how if somebody is curating, let's say, anything.
Yeah.
Novels. Records.
Right.
There's a glut of creativity, happily. How you ferret out what to present is an inexact thing.
It's partially networked, trust this person because they're friends with this person.
Partially networked, and it's discovering what other... I mean, there are animation festivals around the world that just showcase animation. And so you watch to see what sort of rises to the surface there. I think the point is not to necessarily say that you are trying to show the best work, but you're trying to open people up to the idea that there's lots of interesting things in the world out there. We can only show a handful of things. I mean, if you do a film festival, the Portland International Film Festival, and you show 150 films out of 10,000 that got made in the world, you're not really, your snapshot is not definitive necessarily, and it's not intended to be that. I think it's more to get people to dig a little deeper and see things the culture is so dominated by things that are, marketed and merchandised. And, a typical film or almost anything, as much as spent on trying to sell it to you as went into making it. And so the people that have that are invested in selling you something, that was their choice, that's what they're trying to do. But beneath that, there's all kinds of other stuff that's equally interesting, or maybe perhaps more interesting to you personally. You just have to dig a little bit to find it. Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to help facilitate the digging a little bit and point out what's out there.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week was Bill Foster. He's the director of the Northwest Film Center, and he was here talking about Animating Life, which is a show at the Portland Art Museum about Leica, the animation house, and that runs through May 20th, 2018. Thanks very much for coming to KBOO, Bill.
My pleasure.
That's it. All done.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of After the Smoke Clears on Wednesday, November 15th at 6 p.m. at Revolution Hall in Portland. After the Smoke Clears is the first in a series of educational public forums on the Eagle Creek Fire and learn how our community can support the recovery of the Columbia River Gorge. The series will feature a combination of multimedia presentations on what happened in the fire and examinations of key challenges moving forward, featuring insights from a collection of noted fire ecologists, forestry researchers, and leaders from local businesses, conservation, and recreation organizations. Again, that's After the Smoke Clears on Wednesday, November 15th at 6 p.m. at Revolution Hall, 1300.